If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this new edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. It's never too early to start looking ahead to the hill climb season, especially when you're in the company of a former British hill climb champion. We have with us today Brother UK sponsored Adam Kenway. Adam, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me here.
And I'm also joined, of course, by my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Phil Jones. Phil, thanks for sticking around.
Thanks, Tim. Looking forward to hearing all about lightweight bikes and very high heart rates.
Oh, we love the hill climb on the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. I think that's been well established. I don't know if this is just a perception, but it seems to me a discipline that's on the rise, if you'll pardon the pun. We're getting a longer and longer hill climb season. Beamer Bowden's events, for example, the Summer Hill Climb Series, perfect example. 16 events from May the 6th to August the 19th. Adam, is hill climbing expanding? Is it becoming more popular?
I think it is. It's so open for such a wide demographic of cyclists. It's getting a lot more open rather than just the road races finishing the season doing some hill climbs. It's a completely new sport as such, where people just do hill climbs. For them, it doesn't clash with the road racing. They can race all through the summer. And also, in the summer, it's nice weather. Like the race I did on Monday. Beautiful summer's evening, closed roads. There's two pubs on the course. They made their own Dutch corner on one of the corners. It was a great event. Great event.
Somebody as rapid as you, Adam. I thought you were going to say, and I stopped off at one of the pubs on my run, but... Good to hear that you weren't so far ahead that you could do that.
I felt like it halfway off, I must admit.
What was that climb like, Adam?
It was very short. Probably too short for my preference. It was a little bit too short, but it was a fantastic climb. That's one thing about hill climbing. There's a climb for everybody, and people know their data more and more and know themselves better than they ever have. There's mini climbs, which this was. This was 51 seconds, very steep, to the long cat and fiddle type climbs, which is 19 minutes and like averaging like 5 and 6%. So there's kind of a range of climbs for everybody. And I think that's another reason why they're so popular.
I see this parallel with cyclocross. You know, I know that some traditionalist, Mark Botley, for example, who manages our Brother UK orientation marketing team, he says the road season ends too quickly these days and the cyclocross season begins too soon. I mean, is hill climbing starting too early, do you think?
I don't think so, because I think the people who are doing the hill climbs are really different characters. There is a crossover. It's almost like a battle road races are. It's like one-to-one where hill climbers, it's more about yourself and what you can get out of yourself. So I think it's a different kind of cyclist. Some people, it might say, starts a little bit too soon, which can kind of almost dilute the kind of 10, 12 weeks before the nationals. But I find as long as you don't peak too soon and you're doing them for the event and enjoying the bar riding your bike. So like the one on Monday, I've got road race legs, as I call them. I could probably go that climb exactly the same after 100 miles. I'd probably be 5 or 6 seconds quicker when I've really tapered down and I've done some specific efforts. It's amazing how when you start training for them really shorter efforts, how quickly that form does come on. And that's trying to prepare for the nationals and things like that. It's pairing it really right. And the top lads now are experts at it. And they hit September so hard, and like the first couple of hill climbs, I'm off the pace almost until I kind of almost get a bit of freshness in my legs and start doing them efforts. And I normally come round to about Monster Head week, about 4 weeks before the nationals, and that's when I think, okay, now I need to start hitting some form and kind of start that upward progression. Because I do think it's all about mentally getting that winning routine. And at the moment, I've kind of think every race I want to do, I want to be on the podium. You don't want not to be on, like the nationals last year. I've been on the podium for 5 years previous, and it was a bitter pill to take, but it's almost making me more eager this year to get the training kind of thing.
I've got here on my list of questions, have you buried the disappointment of last year's nationals? I'm not sure what the answer is.
It was such a great climb to have it on, iconic climb when it's pass. It was one of them where I normally do very well on hill climbs because I'm quite relaxed and I've got my bike sorted. I don't try to think about it at all, kit wise. I've done it. I practiced it. Forget about it. Just think about just being relaxed. I know I've done the training. My legs will be there on the day. It's kind of, you can't change any other factors. On that day, I probably should have started mucking about on my bike a bit more than I did. And it's just one of them days on the bike. You know, it's, if your legs just don't turn up, your bike's not right. You just have to take it as one of them, really.
So what would you have done differently, Adam? What was it about your bike that you think you should have been tweaking with?
I put on 90mm track tubs, which are super light, super low rolling resistance, great on dry roads. Normally, Winnetts is quite a good road surface because there's no trees. It's quite open. So normally there's not much foliage on the road. So you normally get a lot of grip. And even the Wednesday beforehand when I was practicing it, I had no really wheel spin issues. But on the day, it was just like a torrential rain. It was like a river coming down the road. And in my head, it felt like my wheels didn't stop spinning. But realistically, there was two sections on the climb where I got a really bad wheel spin. And I went from, it didn't seem much, 14K an hour, 15K an hour, to almost zero. And then you have to get back up to speed on such a steep gradient. And then for it to happen again, in your head, it's kind of game over. It's all about, I probably said it before, just keeping your momentum, especially nowadays. If something happens, you just need to keep your speed because you're never going to regain that speed or get back up to the speed because your legs just haven't got the lactic acid. It just builds up and builds up and builds up. So you're kind of almost hanging on rather than accelerating.
Did you feel like, you know, when you have nightmares, you're trying to run away from somebody and your legs don't work, you're trying to scream for help, your tongue gets tired? I mean, was it that kind of scenario?
Yeah, and the problem is as well, I knew everybody on the climb. There's a wall of noise, all shouting. And I'm thinking, I'm not doing what I could be doing. So you're kind of beating yourself up in the head, even on the climb. It's racing. You can look at it two ways. You can think, oh, it's game over. Or you can just use it as hunger for the next training session. And I will do. So in September, when I'm doing them hard sessions, I'll be thinking about, I don't want to be there again, and trying even harder. But even my warm-up didn't go to plan. And Hannah, my other half, will kick me for this. So I was warming up on my turbo, got under this tree and we got a tarpaulin up so I was keeping dry and just standing there, umbrella, about 5 minutes into my 40 minutes warm up and I got a towel to wipe off my bike, make sure. She just leant over with the umbrella and dropped my towel into my turbo. And because I was doing an effort, it stopped the turbo completely and blew up the turbo. So we're there. I was like, okay, no stress. And it was that cold and wet, you couldn't warm up on the road. It was just too wet. So I just lighted my bike off the turbo, just sat in the car, put the heaters on. And that was my warm-up kind of thing. I probably could have warmed up on the road, but I've been in that scenario before and you almost get colder actually warming up. It's funny, I was speaking to somebody about the National Road Race and they said everybody was warming up in the rain at the start. Cav was in his car until about 10 seconds before the start. Everybody was sitting on the line with the rain jackets on. He got off his car in his speed suit, straight to the front line. And that's what my mentality was, just hopefully not to get too cold. But then even riding to the start, it was cold. But end of October, in the middle of the peaks, you expect that.
Yeah. We talked earlier about this increasingly early start to the season. Do you think autumn will always be the business end of the hill climb season? I mean, this year, for example, Monsel Head, a race you've won twice. October the 2nd, the Beck Hill Climb, where I think you were second last year. October the 9th, Nationals, not until October the 30th. Is it always really going to be an autumn sport?
I think so, just because you can't keep that form for too long. And the Nationals, I think, is even bigger in hill climbing than it is in road racing and any other sport. It's such a big event and everybody wants to have the stripes. And once you've got them, nobody can ever take them away as such. It's a really big honour. And in cycling, most people either dread or love hills, apart from riding your bike. So I think National Hill Climb Championships is such a big thing. It's always going to be the sharp end is October, really, and September, October. Yeah, there's some events there. So Monsel Head, I've been second three times and I've won it twice. I need to win that again this year. I really do. And then Bex, it was the first time I did Bex CC and I'm definitely going to do that again this year. It's an amazing event, really good. Great atmosphere, like carnival atmosphere, which I love. And now I know the course a little bit, know how to ride it. Definitely going down there, hopefully to win, but a good podium. But some really, really good hill climbers down south as well, which sometimes you don't only see at the nationals. So you kind of get groups of hill climbers like merging at the nationals, like the southern hill climbers and northern hill climbers.
Hang on, there's no hills in the south, are there, Adam?
That's what I tell them at the nationals.
There's no hills in the south.
They're very good at the short, mini power climbs. They're very good at them kind of climbs.
Yeah, let's get on to this year's nationals, because that is Horseshoe Pass in North Wales, but perhaps not the Horseshoe Pass that the casual observer might be picturing. It's the Old Road, Adam. Tell us about this year's National Hill Climb course.
Yes, I think it's about 1.4k long. I might be wrong from the top of my head. It's about 14% average, but it's very constant average all the way up. I think course record at the moment is around about 4 minutes 20, 4 minutes 30, but I think on the day it'll be down to 4 minutes. All depends on wind conditions and weather conditions, obviously, in Wales, North Wales, at the end of October. It could be 5 minutes or 6 minutes if the wind's in the wrong direction. It's going to be a really great climb, I think.
At a distance and a gradient that suits you?
Yeah, I think winning the nationals-wise, anything up to 5 minutes, I've got a chance on. The last time it was a four-minute climb, I was second to Dan Evans, and I put some good numbers out there, and I think this year I'm putting out better at the moment, so we'll see how that carries on towards October. Some really good hill climbers. So there's Andy Feather, Tom Bell, Andy Nichols, Dan Evans, and there's always some more coming onto the scene. But it's a year, so you never know what form people are going into, because Andy Nichols is going really well at the moment because he does road racing as well. But Tom Bell and Andy Feather only really focus on the hill climbs, so you don't see them until the first hill climb of the season. They don't really know how they're going to go, and it all depends where we're going to meet. So Tom Bell and Andy Feather won't probably do Monsel Head or Bex because they're a bit too short for them. And then people like Ed Laverick will focus on the longer climbs. So I might meet them once or twice, but it's always going to be exciting at the national stage just to see how everybody comes together and races kind of thing.
So this will be the first time, I guess, then it's gone up that side of Horseshoe Pass, because normally it's the longer side, isn't it? Which is like a 9 minute climb. So you must be quite happy that it's the shorter version of the climb, because if it was the longer one, would you still have gone in for it?
Oh, I'd always got in for it, but yeah, I'm much happier it's the steeper side. Brings different rides, and so Ed Laverick would have loved the long one. The short one, he'd still be okay, but it's pulling into the more power riders rather than the really like threshold effort, like rather than a time trial effort. It's what I call a hill climb effort as such. One where you can taste blood in the back of your throat and lactic acid, but, yeah, building your legs kind of thing.
Very good. And has the Dremel been out in the closed season, Adam, more importantly? Have we had any Dremel action that you can report to our listeners on?
It has. I've had some help as well. So basically, I'm working at school now. I'm in the D&D department. And
did you do that deliberately? Have you got that job specifically to try and help you win more hill climb championships? Yeah. You devious, conniving.
Yesterday, actually, we had 3 or 4 students working on my frame, sanding it and getting all the grams I can off.
You've got to watch out now. Adam's got the support of the education system behind him now. My goodness me, that's a smart move.
It's amazing how the students really want to get involved and they really buy into it and get some sandpaper on and sanding away.
Do you know what? I didn't have any teachers like Mr. Kenway when I was at school. And I'm absolutely gutted about it, I'll be honest.
Adam, can I bring one of my bikes down to your D&T session? Maybe you can make mine a bit lighter.
Yeah, we do a great course called Repair and Restore. And that's what we're repairing and restoring at the moment. It's
by sheer coincidence. we're repairing and restoring Mr. Kenway's bike.
We're allocating some students onto it.
Because I remember your bike. You flashed into my mind the other week, Adam, because I'd driven over to see some friends in Worksop and I come back via the route which takes me near Peroyd Lane. You know, that shopping centre there, and I think in 2018 when the Nationals was on there and you were competing then, I remember I'd driven over to watch the Nationals that day. That was a horrible, horrible climb, that one, that Peroyd Lane.
Yeah, it was about 2.5 minutes, I think, 2 minutes 18, I think we did it in the end. Andy Feather won, Callum Brown second, I came third that year. But if you remember right, I seemed to get some grim weather. Can you remember us warming up and it started snowing? I was like, grim climb, great climb though. For some reason, it feels very bleak to me. Some climbs feel warm and homely and you feel safe on them. Shelby Walsh, when I came third in 2019, felt a very safe climb, nice climb, warm climb, where Winnetts and Peroyd, you're very exposed and you feel like it's just you and the elements kind of thing. it's going to be kind of a very exposed climb in Wales.
Absolutely. Just picking up on Winnetts there, how significant was it, do you think, last year to have the national championships back on the home of British hill climbing? We know, unfortunately, it wasn't the day that you wanted, but in terms of its importance to hill climbing as a discipline, was it a useful marker?
Oh, definitely. You just have to look how many people came to watch in them conditions. The road was probably 3 deep for a kilometre. At the top, all you could do was ride in a central patch on the road just because there's that many spectators. And for that, in weather conditions, people rode out 50 miles and stood in the pouring rain for 3 hours watching riders. I think I'd much prefer to do my hill climb and get back in the warm car, even a bad attempt at a hill climb.
I remember watching that. I watched that on the YouTube channel and I felt cold watching it, Adam. It was horrible. Really, really horrible. And you could just see how cold the riders were actually coming up. And you're right, occasionally someone would stand in front of the camera, was at the side of the road, and you know, they'd have like a full-on sou'wester on, and it was, the rain was coming in sideways, and it just looked dire for the National Hill Climb Championship. It really looked awful.
Chris Miles, who put it on, did an amazing job. I know Chris Miles was part of it, and the other people as well, probably not giving as much credit as they need, but they put on an amazing job. And I'm just looking forward to this year and years to come, really.
Yeah. I mean, Brother UK sponsored last year's National Hill Climb Championships, the first nationals, or rather the first nationals on Winnetts that crowned a women's champion. That's been a theme throughout this conversation, hasn't it? Or rather earlier episodes that we've recorded today, the strength of women's cycling and another amazing podium there, Bitha Jones, Mary Wilkinson, and our own Rebecca Richardson. Just in terms of ever-increasing standards, you know, you've mentioned a number of times Andy Nichols, Andy Feather. Is it getting harder and harder to win this thing?
Yeah, winning any hill climb. Probably 6 years ago, you could turn up and even if you're on an off day, you'd get the win. Now, so on Monday, I won by 0.1 of a second. There's so many really good riders. Easy way to explain. 2012, I think, the National Hill Climb was on Bank Road. And I think the winning time was 2:25. I think you would have struggled to get in the top 25 with the winning time in 2016. So even like 4 years later, and it's going even further. Winnetts was a bit different because it hasn't been a climb on there for years. So times-wise, it's quite hard to compare, plus wind conditions. But year before Black Shawby Walsh, the course record was 2 minutes 22 for years. It was probably 30 years. And then on the day, we got it down to 2 minutes 6 seconds. I crossed the line with only Tom and Andy Feather to go, and I broke Callum Brown's record, what he broke the minute previously, by 4 seconds. And I heard that over the tannoy, and I heard what time I did, and I thought, got it, I've won. And then Tom Bell came over and beat me by 0.5 seconds, and then Andy Feather beat Tom by 2. I was like, that's off. You know what I mean? I'm happy with third. I'd love to win, but...
Straight back down to the workshop with those kids, get the Dremel out again, yeah, I think, yeah, Adam, you know, try and find that extra half a second in power to weight ratio.
Yeah, let's get the marginal gains.
Does it feel like a bit of a golden era?
I think because I'm in it, it always feels like a golden era. It's obviously going to have a bit of a kind of rose-tinted scene from me because I, for the last 7 years, I've been on the podium 5 times and I've won 2 golds, team and individual, silvers, bronzes. Yeah, it's really rose-tinted for me. 2 things I remember of bikes is watching the Tour of Britain, getting one of the yellow signs, and then going and watching Mark Lovett win the National Hill Climb Championships on the Cat and Fiddle when I was 16. And that was my first, when I was riding bikes, saw him win. I think that's what I want to win. And I never thought I would.
Would a better question be, is it a more specialist era? I mean, for example, Russ Downing has won Monsal 4 times, but Russ Downing is a World Tour pro. The names that we're discussing today, Tom Bell, Andy Feather, Callum Brown, Adam Kenway, these are specialist hill climbers.
Yeah, it is very specialist. Tom Bell last year, I'd like to say nobody in the world would have beat him on that day. What training he put in and his power to weight and things like that. You just have to look at Monsal Head. So 2019, Tom Peacock came 11th. Last year, James Shaw came 14th. I mean, these World Tour riders, and they're getting up there because they can ride a bike. You know what I mean? They can ride a bike, but it's very it's hard to do. I can remember Tom Peacock, because he was obviously, he hadn't done it before. It's his first time. He was at the start. He's saying, well, how do I do it? He's saying, just go as hard as you can from the bottom to the top. I mean, he still did a good time, but he got to the top and did my time. He just went, I don't know how he's done that.
Oh, wow.
And it's quite nice. It was nice.
Man, I'd take that all day long, wouldn't you?
To put that into perspective, Adam, what sort of watts would you be pushing? So if you're talking about a 4-minute effort, let's just say, to take a win on Monsal or something like that, what would your average power be for that 4-minute period?
4 minutes for the Nationals, it'll be, I reckon, 650.
650 watts for 4 minutes. So yeah, do you want to try that at home, kids? When you're next on your turbo trainer or watt bike, give that a go.
A Monsal head will be 1,000 watts for a minute and then hang on for the rest, really.
Wow, 1,000 watts for 1 minute. So again, another one to try in the pain cave at home.
I'm busy.
Yeah, I think I'll be counting that one in milliseconds, Tim, rather than minutes.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned earlier that period in your season where you make the transition from road racer to hill climber. Is that a date on the diary? Is that marked on the calendar? Or is that more feel? Is that something you sense that it's time to make that transition?
Normally, it's the 1st of September, if I'm honest. And I kind of, because that's when the first kind of the hill climbs start every weekend. And I kind of look at the hill climbs and go, okay, every weekend I've either got one or two hill climbs and I know what I'm doing. And I plan the calendar on what the Nationals is. And also, what I'm good at. Everybody wants that kind of morale of winning races. And it's funny, even if I've come second now, I'm like, oh, second. Where years ago, it would have been amazing if I've come second. Now it's, I want to win. So you kind of have to plan your races, what you're best at, what you can perform paired with other riders against. So I kind of want, okay, I want to win that one, win that one, win that one. You can see a kind of a build up towards the Nationals. And obviously the Nationals is 4 minutes. So I'll probably be going, picking 4 minute climbs because this year I'm going to go down the data front because I've always been kind of feel rider, but because it's 4 minutes and it's kind of constant, you will be able to ride by power. So I want quite a few 4 minute climbs in race scenarios to see what power I'm putting out. So on the day I know, okay, I'm going to be riding at that for the majority and yeah, see what I can do.
That sounds like a fundamental shift from feel to power.
I think nowadays you have to. I think how everybody's progressing, Monsal head and things you can't because it's just too short. But for a 4 minute climb, I'm definitely, people always say, I can't believe you didn't ride to power. But now I've kind of had to make the shift, I think.
So does that mean you're going to have head unit on the bike, Adam? Have you given that to the kids in the school to sort of try and offset that weight now?
I've certainly given the mount for it, get them filing the mount down a little bit.
I'm picturing this head unit as a little circuit board and an LCD screen.
Yeah,
either side of the stem. You've taken your hill climbing in various directions. You made an Everesting attempt in 2020, and I remember speaking to you soon after, and the record had gone then, the world record had been set in Ireland, just outside Belfast, and you fancied the job. Do you still do that?
I do fancy it. I really do fancy it. At the time, I had a teammate who lived in Ireland, quite close to the climb, so we were going to do it as a dual thing. Quite hard to set up. It's doable, but I'd need to get out there, recce the climb, and I think you'd have to stay there for quite a few days to make sure you get the right weather window for it. Because if the weather's wrong, if it's a second slower a lap, but let's say 10 seconds slower per 7 minute run, and you're doing 60 runs, it soon adds up and you can't gain that back. There's only so much power you can put up. There's only so fast you can come down the hill. But I definitely want the British record or UK record. We'll see how that goes. I know Max Debbins had a couple of goes at it and he's always come close, but it's always kind of something's happened, nothing like that. Now I might have to pencil something in the 6 weeks holiday for that.
Would you do that after the Nationals, Adam? Obviously, wouldn't, I'm guessing, attempt something like that as part of a training regime?
If I did it, it would have to be before I started to focus on the Nationals. After the Nationals, I don't think you'll get the weather window to do it efficiently because you're going to be on the bike 6 hours nonstop, going up and down. They say it's quite hard. You need a good, not too warm, not too hot, and a really good prevailing tailwind up the climb.
Is it a very different endeavour to a hill climb? Is it as different, for example, as attempting the hour record is from doing a 4 minute pursuit?
Yeah, I think it's more like a road race, if I'm honest. Just a long road race going up and down climbs. Like a really gritty road race where you're just chewing the stem for most of the day.
Is it still a relevant thing? I mean, it was sort of the ultimate expression of lockdown, wasn't it? Riders were looking for solo endeavours, things that they could do while staying safe. And there was a whole flurry, wasn't there, of Everesting attempts. Is it still a current event?
Yeah, I don't think it's as popular as it was. Obviously, during lockdown, it's great because you could just go out on your own and do an Everest. If you break the record, it's always going to be relevant to you. And if in the end, that's what matters as well, isn't it? It's whatever you do, it's to yourself. Obviously, some people thrive on, especially modern day, social media and the likes and things like that. But for me, it's about what I'm getting from it. I see people in the past doing these hill climbs and things like that, and I used to look up to them, and I'm thinking, okay, for me, I'd like to put myself in that position.
Well, with that in mind, what would a second national title mean to you?
Ooh, yeah, a lot. I don't know. You've tasted it once. Dan Evans has won it twice, and he said the second one almost meant more to him because it's almost hard that you've got, I don't know, an added weight of expectation on your shoulders. Yeah, I'd love having the stripes for you. It's just, there's nothing else. Black Cav winning the road race, you just saw the joy this year winning the national road race. I'm sure that meant more to him than the first year he won it.
Yeah, that's a very good frame of reference. This is so far beyond my capabilities, it's untrue, but I'm trying to picture opening a wardrobe and seeing a national champion's jersey hanging inside it. What does that feel like?
I've got two. I've got one on the wall, which the one they awarded me on the day, and then I've got the rally kit, which I wore with the national champions, and I've got a last skin suit with that on. And also, that was the last time I raced that, Shaw won, was the last time anybody raced in a rally shirt as well, which was quite nice as well, because I think that the team like ended, and that was the last time anybody raced in a rally top and in the national jersey. It was quite, I don't know, for me, it was quite nice.
Nice and nostalgic, that, yeah. Adam. It's really nice because obviously Rally as a brand is very, in everybody's minds, they always remember Rally bikes because they often had a Rally bike as a kid. Certainly people of my age did, were running around in grifters and choppers and all that kind of stuff. So Rally is really synonymous with that period. So it's a nice nostalgia.
One of the biggest regrets, obviously I got lots of photos of me in national jersey with my Rally bike. And at the end of the season, I gave my Rally bike back. And I wished I would have bought that Rally bike. So I could have Rally National Champs jersey with the Rally bike.
Was it the one that was red and yellow?
Yeah. It was such a nice bike to ride as well. I think it went out of fashion. Rally did a little bit, but it was, I enjoyed it and I liked it. I like that bike a lot.
I still see them come up occasionally on eBay. They come up every now and again, but obviously it's not the bike for you, is it? It's got to be the bike. And saw something on social media recently. I think it was Alberto Contador's bike collection at home, and it was unbelievable. He's got almost every bike he's ever ridden from the get-go and every race that he's won and all this. And this place was just like this phenomenal cycling museum. You're sort of like, I want to live here. I think those key moments in life that you've just described, that time when I won it, and that's the bike, and that's the kit, and that's the medal, and that was me. That was me in the peak of my condition. So maybe, Adam, if this time around, if you do it, you'll have an opportunity to keep your bike this time, won't you? You won't make that same mistake twice. And you'll be in Brother Kit as well, so we can have your Brother Kit made with the champion stripes on. So that'd be even better.
That would be the icing on the cake, wouldn't it? Well, look, thank you very much indeed, guys, for joining me today. Adam Kenway, former British Hill Climb champion, and we hope future British Hill Climb champion, and Phil Jones, the managing director of Brother UK. Guys, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.